Turn with me to Acts chapter 20, and we're going to be reading verse 28 through 32. Acts 20, verse 28 through 32. The Bible says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Verse 32. "And now, brethren, I command you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that you've given me tonight, this morning, to be able to teach from your word. I just ask that you please fill me with your presence, fill me with the Holy Spirit, and I just ask that you please speak to me. Speak to through me, and I ask that you please just give me the right words to say. Help me to be able to stay composed and to be able to teach just what you want me to teach and nothing more. And I just ask that you please be with all those who are dealing with sickness, that you please bring healing to them. Be with Pastor Lance, give him the strength, and be with as well as Stephen, and help him as he'll be preaching later on as well. And I just ask, Lord, that you please just be with us and be with all the churches around the country that are going to be preaching and celebrating the birth of your son, Jesus. We love you, God, in your name. Amen. So this is something that I took just about half a year to teach to our teenagers over in Springfield, and we were talking about why it's important to read the Bible. And I believe last time I was here, I may have mentioned two or three points about this, but I was talking to Pastor Lance, and I told him, you know, I would like to finish this if that's okay with you. And he said, yeah, I think that'll go perfect with, especially with coming into this new year. And so I said, okay, you know, so it seems like this is what God wants me to preach. It seems like this is right on track. And in verse 32, we read here, and we see Paul, and he's speaking to the elders, and he's giving his last words, and he's telling them that he's commanding them to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. And I think that's something so important that the Bible does. It builds us up. We know in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that Jesus is the foundation to our lives. He has already been set as the foundation. And now, as believers, we are to build up that foundation, build upon that foundation. And what better way than with God's word, the word of God. But unfortunately, there's a lot of us who don't make it a priority. And maybe not because we don't want to, but because we feel like there's just no time. We feel like there's just other things that we have to do. I saw a meme the other day, and it said, you know, starter pack to why you don't read your Bible. And it was four little pictures. And one of them was you're on your phone. One of them was somebody, you know, on hands texting. One of them was just Netflix. And then I can't remember the other two. And I was like, that's so true. We always say we don't have time, but you know, we do have time. It's just, you know, the priority. And so Paul tells us here that he's commanding the church to the word of God, to the word of his grace, which is able to build us up. And so I just have briefly eight reasons why we should read the Bible. Okay, why we should read the Bible. And these reasons aren't the only reasons. There's many more. I'm sure you could think of better ones. I'm sure there's a better way to phrase them. But the question is why we should read the Bible. And number one, because it is a love letter from God to us. And again, I mentioned a couple of these last time, so I'm going to not dwell too much on them. But go with me to Revelation chapter 3. Revelations chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. The Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. The Bible is a love letter written by someone who desires to be with us. And we see in this verse right here, Jesus saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He's the one who most of the time initiates that relationship, initiates that coming to us, coming to him. I can remember in my life, that's definitely how it happened for us. You know, my parents, I was telling Stephen a little bit about this yesterday, but my dad, he used to drink. He used to be an alcoholic. He used to be one of those persons that whenever he got home, he never came home because inside the house, because he'd just leave the door open and he'd be on the floor, you know, literally in the street in Mexico where we used to live in. And he'd just be laying there, literally passed out from how drunk he was. Sometimes he'd come in, and when he'd come in, he was happy. He was happy, and he would give us money, and obviously that was the times that I liked when he would come in. But then those were rare, though. Most of the time he would come in, he'd come angry, he'd come, you know, with blood, he'd come, you know, cursing up a storm. And it was, to me, it was just like the worst. And then eventually he left my mom and, he left us. But during that time, my cousin from the States came and he came to share the word of God. And it was God coming, knocking at our door. It was God seeking us out. Out of all the millions of people, my cousins, you know, could have gone to other people. He didn't have to come visit us, but he said that just something told him he should come say hi before he left. And he came and he spoke to us, and you know, my parents are thankfully, it's a long story, I don't want to go too much into detail, but eventually God brought us to the States, God brought us to Tennessee, and allowed my parents' marriage to be restored, allowed us to be here, allowed me to have the opportunity to be in a church like this, or be able to go to a Bible college like the one I went to. Why? Because God was there and he was the one who seeked us out. And throughout my life, I've noticed that he's always there. He never leaves us. He's always just, you know, one call away. And unfortunately, a lot of the time it's not like that for us, where we try to leave him. We try to separate, but he never leaves us. He's always there. He's that stubborn person who would never just leave our side. And that's awesome to know that he's initiating the relationship. He's at the door knocking, wanting to have fellowship with us. We should read our Bible because this is a love letter that he left us that shows us how we can have a better life. How can we can transform our lives? And like I mentioned, it showed my parents how they could transform their marriage. How they could once again love each other. How once again they could come back into that relationship. It is a love letter from God to us. Number two, it is essential for our discipleship. Go with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, verse 31. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. The Bible said, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The word disciple is mentioned around 274 times in the New Testament. Quite a bit of times, I would say. And Jesus tells us here, and in a lot of the times he spoke to his disciples and he spoke to those that were following him, he said, he called them his disciples. And he tells us in this specific passage, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. It could mean that there are people who profess to be disciples of Jesus, right? Who profess and by word, we can say the right things, but in our actions and our continuing daily and following him, transforming our lives, we're totally the opposite. And Jesus says, if you truly want to be my disciple, you will continue in my word. But how can we continue if we don't open God's word? How can we continue in his word if we just go to it once a week, only on Sundays, only on Wednesdays if I decide to come to church that day? The word disciple, you know, is one of the definitions is one who adheres. It's kind of like an adhesive, right? We know what an adhesive is, but you know, it connects two things and like sticks them together. And I would say that as we read God's word and as we become better disciples, we continue in his word and we find things that maybe we just didn't know that we were supposed to do. And God speaks to us, right? And he speaks to us. And as he's speaking to us, we find something like, oh, man, I need to learn to forgive. And we, and this is how I picture, we grab that glue and we stick it to us. And we stick it and make it part of our lives. And then, you know, later on we learn, and as we grow in his grace, we realize, oh man, I need to give God the 10%. I need to give him the first fruits. Man, you know what? I'm going to apply that to my lives. And we put that adhesive and bam, we put it on us. And it becomes part of us. But we can never learn that. We will never be able to develop that continuing of growing in him if we are never continuing in his word. And Jesus tells us, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Again, we're talking to Stephen. We went to go visit some. I guess they're my relatives now, right? They're considered my relatives. But we went to go see some relatives, and on the way back, we were talking, and you know, there's so many people who are being deceived, unfortunately. And they believe that this is the truth, but then next year it changes and it's something else. No, now this is the truth, and it changes, and now it's this. Well, now it's this, and now, and it's unfortunate for them, but we have the truth that never changes. We have Jesus, who is the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow, and forever. And we have that opportunity to learn from that. The same Bible, you know, that was used in the early 1900s that spoke to people back then is the same one that speaks to us right now. We can learn from this, and it applies to our lives. Number three, because the Bible provides spiritual nourishment. I gotta hurry. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. The Bible says, if you don't get there, I'm just gonna read it. But he answered and said, "As it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Why should we read the Bible? Because the Bible provides spiritual nourishment. And you know, I believe I mentioned this with our teenagers, but you know, who likes to eat? I think we all do, right? We all love to eat. I think I ate like 5 times yesterday, and it was nice. It was good food, right? I'm sure at Christmas we're going to eat something good. I'm not sure what a typical Christmas is for you guys, but for us, when I'm at my mom's, it's tamales, it's rice, it's, you know, sometimes she makes turkey again, and a lot of food, and we eat that, right? Beans, tortillas, you know, some hot stuff, although I don't really eat that much hot stuff. My wife eats more than me. It's a shame to say that, but it's just how it is. I don't know what happened. But anyways, we eat that. You know, here at the Lances, we're probably going to eat, I don't know what we're going to eat, but it's going to be good. I know. I think Miss Lance says it's going to be mashed potatoes. So I love mashed potatoes. Green bean casserole. I love green bean casserole. I love every type of food. I'm not opposed to any of it as long as it tastes good. And so we eat it, right? And we become full of it and it nourishes us. But then if you go and you eat, you know, a big delicious plate and you leave that place and you go an hour later and you find that same food, it's not going to seem as appealing anymore. Do you know why? Because you're going to be so full from the previous food that you just ate. It's going to look not as appealing. It's not going to smell the best way because you've already filled yourself with something. The Bible provides the spiritual nourishment for our daily growth. It provides that nourishment so we can defend ourselves with the, with the truth. But we just don't eat it as much as we should. And therefore, we're susceptible to the attacks more. And therefore, we get sickly more because we're just not eating enough. And so we need to feed ourselves with the truth of God's word. Number four, why should we read the Bible? Because the Bible provides wisdom to live a prosperous life. Go with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Why should we read the Bible? Because the Bible provides wisdom to live prosperous lives. And it's not the type of prosperity that unfortunately has crept into some churches where, let's get rich. And it's not that type of prosperity. It's not the prosperity that the world would consider prosperity, having houses and having this and having that. If you have that, great. That's awesome. Good for you. But that's not the prosperity that God is telling us about. It's a different type of prosperity. It's about having the wisdom to make the right decisions in our lives. In knowing what job I'm going to take. Would this job affect my spiritual life? Will it affect my family spiritually? The wisdom to know, should I leave this job or choose another one? The wisdom to say, should I hang out with these types of friends? Or should I develop new friends that will help me and encourage me and won't put me down and won't prevent me from seeking God? Give you the wisdom to make the right choices in your day-to-day life, which is what we need. And the Bible provides that. In James chapter 1, go with me there if you can, and if you don't get there on time, I'll read it. James chapter 1, verse 5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally, and upbraid it not, and it shall be given him." This book right here will provide us with the wisdom that we need to live prosperous lives. Number five, because why should we read the Bible? Because the Bible trains and instructs us to live our lives. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Go with me there. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It's a familiar passage. I'm sure you already know it. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Because the Bible trains and instructs us. It trains us how we should live. We mentioned it earlier. All of these points go together. But, the Bible, as you read it, you nourish yourself. And as you're reading it, you're becoming a better disciple. And as you're reading it, it's instructing you how to live your life. It's kind of like a GPS, right? Again, we just came from the airport. Or not the airport. Some house near the airport. And we're going. And I have the GPS. I don't live in Detroit. I don't live here. I come every so often. So I don't really know the roads. And I know Guy knows them. I know Steven knows them. But I need to see a GPS because I will get flustered if I don't know where to go. And I need to have it right there. But, sometimes, I don't know if you've ever met people that, you put the GPS, but then they're like, I think I know a better way. And we're like, okay, all right, let's go the other way. Oh, turns out there's a 20-minute delay and that's why I wanted you to go this way. And we get all, we get all mad and we're like, oh, man, stink. Why is this happening? Well, the better way was this way, but you chose to go this way. And so the Bible, it shows us the proof of why we should go this way. It'll show us why we should avoid that road, because we're going to have a delay if we continue on this road. We're going to go into an accident if we go down this path. So let's just go this way, and it'll teach us. And so the Bible trains and instructs our lives. Number six, because the Bible will protect us from sin and deception. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, please. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 1, the Bible says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. We need to be careful of protecting our lives from sin, of protecting our lives from people who will deceive us. You know, it's unfortunate, but, you know, I've met a lot of people who, at one point, they were firm in their beliefs, who at one point, they were consistent in their walk with God. But something happened, and it wasn't overnight, as we may think sometimes. It's a process. It goes little by little, where we start, like the verse says right here in Hebrews chapter 2, we slip away. It's a small process of slipping away of, you know, if you're on a boat, right? And if you're in the water, slowly you start to drift. You don't just go from one side of the river to the other right away. It's a slow process. The waves start to move you. And the waves of this world are going to move us further and further away if we're not careful. If we are not careful and heeding to the words that we are hearing from this book, if we slowly stop reading our Bible because we feel like we've gotten to the point where we don't need it anymore, if we slowly stop, you know, start watching the shows that at one point we didn't used to, but we feel like we're strong enough now to watch, we're slowly going to slip away, and we're slowly going to deceive ourselves. I believe it's in Jeremiah, but, you know, God is telling Jeremiah, it says, the heart is desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? You know, we think we know ourselves, but we don't. We all have the capacity to become something horrible. And we can get there if we stop heeding to the word of God. If we stop listening to the instruction that is being given to us. We need to protect ourselves. You can also go, you don't have to, because we're running out of time. Ephesians 4:14 as well, you can also read that passage. Number seven, why should we read the Bible? Because the Bible teaches us who is God. Go with me to Revelations chapter 22. Revelations chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, verse 13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I've been reading Revelation this month, and man, it's got so many truths. I remember I used to hate reading it when I was younger because it kind of got me scared. I was like, man, like all these horrible things. And now, you know, I don't know if it's an older thing, but man, I'm like, man, that's awesome. I can't wait for that to happen. I can't wait to one day be with God. And it's a sobering thought at the same time, because you're like, man, we're going to give an account to everything that we did. But as I'm reading Revelation, you learn about God and you learn about Jesus and you learn that he is worthy of all praise. And you learn that without Jesus Christ, you know, we don't have that access to the Father. He is the one who is worthy and the one who is able to redeem us, who has prepared a home for us. And you learn about the Holy Spirit as you open up this book, and you learn about what he does in our lives, and you see it through the church, through the early church, and then you see the way Jesus, you know, acts as well, and you learn who God is through this book. And we need to be able to know who God is in order for us to better worship him, in order for us to better understand him, in order for us to actually have the right view of how to be able to worship God in the right way. Why should we read the Bible? Number 8, because the Bible tells us God's plan for our lives. Go with me to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8. Blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord, in whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. As we read the Bible, we see God's plan for our lives. And we see that the plan that He has for us is much better than the plan that I have. It's much better than the plan that I can try to embark in. His plan, He says, you're going to be like a tree planted by the waters. You're going to be strong. Your roots will be so strong and so rooted in that nothing is going to be able to move you. But we will never find God's plan if we don't ever seek Him, if we don't ever open this book. And so, those are the 8 points that I wanted to share with you. But before I go, I think I have like just a few, 2 minutes maybe. You know, if you decide that you're going to read your Bible, that's awesome. I hope you do it, okay? I challenge you to do it. If you decide, you know what, I've been kind of struggling and been deciding, well, should I read it, should I not? I think I'm going to do it. Great. But as you read your Bible, I would suggest that you take the approach that Ezra took when he opened the Word of God, when he would get into the Scriptures. Go with me to Ezra chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. The Bible says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment." As we read our Bible, okay, I would just suggest to you that you take the same approach that Ezra takes. And the first thing that he does is prepare his heart. And as you read your Bible this year, I would suggest and I would challenge you to prepare your heart to read God's word. Now you may say, well, I am, but you know, that word prepare, when I was looking up the definition, is talking about like standing. And for whatever reason, I just feel like the Holy Spirit took me into this direction and it said, you know, how many of you have ever, maybe when you were younger, or even now, but I remember when I was younger, there was a teacher that I didn't like at all. I felt like he always had it in for me. And anytime he said something, I was already coming in defensive. I was already coming in with the attitude of like, oh, he's going to try to tell me this. And you just kind of take that approach, you know, that posture, that defensive posture. Like, all right, I think he just has it in. Man, he's just always trying to make my life miserable. And we all probably have gone through that. And there's other people who you take their advice. You're like, oh yeah, you know, that's awesome. Cool. Great. Thank you. Appreciate it. Oh, but that person, oh man, nope. He better not talk to me about this part of my life because he doesn't know me. And I think as we prepare our hearts to seek the law, to seek God's word, we need to take the right posture and allow Him to show us which area we need to change. Not tell God, I'm gonna read your word, but don't talk to me about this. But don't you dare touch this area in my life, because you know that that's the part that nobody can go to. And we limit God to what He can speak to us in. We need to prepare our heart. We need to take the right posture. And we need to block out all the noise. Block out all the noise and find a specific place. Kind of how Jesus told his disciples, you know, when they tell him, you know, teach us how to pray. And he tells them to find a place where it's quiet. You know, when you go into your closet, find a place where nobody can bother you. Find a place where it's just you and God. Prepare your heart. The second thing, seek God. As you seek God, ask yourself, what's your motive? What's your motive for seeking God? Is our motive to find the solution to the solution that best benefits me? Or is it to seek God's solution? To seek His perfect will? The way He wants me to approach this thing in my life. Prepare your heart. Seek God. James chapter 4, real quick. James chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Yes, He will draw nigh to you, but hey, let's not forget, we need to cleanse our hands. We need to remove that double-mindedness in here. Why are you seeking Him? Why am I seeking Him? Am I seeking Him humbly, trying to seek His will, trying to see how He's going to speak to me, not in my eyes, but in God's eyes? The last two things, once you prepare to seek, do it. Do it. In Ezra 7, it says, and to do it. Do what God tells you to do. It's a process of occupying. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, it's talking about abounding. You know, we need to occupy ourselves daily in doing. And the last thing, not only after Ezra did all this, not only did he prepare to and seek and did, but he taught. It says, and to teach in Israel. Now, I think we can all stand up here and teach, right? And it sounds all good, but the best teaching is by our actions. The best teaching is by, you know, how I treat my wife when no one's watching. The best teaching is how I treat my son when no one's watching. The best teaching is how I act when no one's watching me and I'm by myself. The best teaching is when I'm with my coworkers, when I'm with my friends who know I go to church, and the way I'm going to speak, the way I'm going to walk. So, as we enter into the new year and you decide that you're going to read, prepare your heart, seek God, do it, and teach others with your example. Okay, let's pray, and then we'll let Stephen tell us what to do. Dear God, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for the opportunity you give me to share these points with this church. Lord, I just ask that you please help us all to apply it. I just ask that you please always help me to remember these truths that you've given me. And Lord, help me to lead by example at my church with our teenagers and with my wife and with my family. And Lord, I just ask that you please help us to be able to have that desire to read and help us to go through with it this year. And Lord, help us to take the right approach when reading the scriptures. We love you, God. In your name, amen.